The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the closing market report. It's August the 28th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, just one story for the day. You've probably already read something from the University of Illinois Western Corn Rootworm Trials in print. Most likely you haven't seen a complete listing of those trials, and it makes a difference, trust me. Mike Gray, extension entomologist from the U of I, will join us to give you all the information from the Western Corn Rootworm Trials that include Herculex, the Yield Guard, and soil insecticides. That happens this afternoon during the closing market report. Hey, don't forget to stay with us right through the bottom of the hour when the folks at Chesapeake Energy will join us at 32 after to tell us all about the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The wheat contract, September, up 6 1/4 today at 384 3/4. December futures there were up 6 cents at 404 1/4. September corn futures at 224 1/2, off a half the day. December futures at 241 were down 3/4 on the day, and the March futures down 3/4 at 255 3/4. December corn for next year, $2.93 a bushel. They finished 0.75 cents lower. September corn futures on this day before the Farm Progress Show starts at 537 3/4, down 5 1/4. November's off a nickel at 552. And January futures at 564 3/4 were down a nickel. November's down 3.5 cents at 616. Soybean meal futures 158.90. They were off 60 for the day. September bean oil at 24.54, down 41. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the August contract at $117.25. They were up 50 cents. August live cattle at 89.32 1/2, up 67 1/2. And October live cattle at 92.50, 32 1/2 cents higher. Lean hogs October contract, $65.40, up 37 1/2 today. For the outside markets, crude oil October contract, $70.50 a barrel, down $2.01. CRB index at 329.51, down 6.75. The dollar at 85.20, they're off 0.22. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,370, up just about 80 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I almost said you were out of Amana, Iowa, because that's where you will be tomorrow, I think, won't you? Or are you coming in on Tuesday or Wednesday?
I'll be there bright and early tomorrow morning.
That's what I thought. Kurt Kimmel, one of several that will be out at the Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. Dave Dickey and Joan Harshbarger from the station already there. They tell me that they need boots to get around out there, and it's a little muddy. But I think most of those streets are paved, so it shouldn't be too terribly bad. Looking forward to being out there. The rainfall that they've gotten, and one of the reasons that futures in the bean pit were lower today?
Well, common wisdom say that you know, as these rains continue to develop, it's helping the late beans. And ideas are this afternoon's crop condition report could show 1% to 2% improvement as a nation. Probably need to watch the beans in the south, especially as you watch southern Illinois, Indiana, as the double crop beans still have some time to go. But, yeah, the conditions are improving somewhat. There's no real fear that we're going to lose bushels right at the moment. The trade's becoming comfortable with that. Then, too, the demand isn't really stepping up here, and China's not buying cargo after cargo after cargo. So the function of the market is to sort of price in a bigger crop to search out some demand underneath the marketplace.
I can see that it appears that really there wasn't much of an impact from the John Deere, or actually from the Pro Farmer numbers. The John Deere numbers are just the state numbers, but the Pro Farmer number is the number that was released on Friday afternoon and that we talked about on Commodity Week over the weekend. Most people thought it would be a little bit lower in the corn bit, and that's just about all she wrote for this day as well.
Yeah, the corn market is still has anxiety there of huge demand as we go down the road as these ethanol plants come online and as livestock production remains profitable. We've got just a huge demand base underneath the marketplace. And when you do the math and look at the supply-demand balance sheet as you're going out to 2007, 2008, if you keep demand on a growth scale and keep the production where it's at and you get rid of this carryout from this crop year, it tightens up real quick. So the trade has a mindset that we need to buy 4 to 5 million acres or have an additional 4 to 5 million acres as we go down the road in here. So that's going to be the job of the marketplace as we go in this winter is to entice producers to plant more corn next year. But first, we have to get through some of this old crop inventory coming to town and find a home for this new crop as we're starting to see harvest activity in some of the areas in the deep south take place.
And what are you telling producers about the potential for LDP for corn? Have we really gone low enough at this point for the harvest season, do you think? Or is there a possibility that things will drift lower either in the cash or the futures market?
Well, it's kind of tough, and that is a good question because we're going to have two separate markets here like we have been. We're going to have a futures market, then we're going to have a cash market. Ideas are that the corn LDP could probably be here this early fall. Ideas are that it could be a 10 to 15 cent corn LDP in the early stages. With the demand wet in their chops and ready to buy it here, they'll probably use this weakness in the cash market to gather inventory. I think we sort of spooked some of the international trade here as we saw the market go lower here. We saw Japan come in and buy, Korea come in and buy. So we're starting to see some of these exporters step forward and gather some coverage as they realize that, you know, usually you get some type of low here and they want to buy it ahead of this strong domestic demand we have built into the marketplace. So we're going to see that battle back and forth. Futures-wise, you know, as a speculator and a trader, you know, we're getting close to the time window where you want to be a buyer and look for some higher prices. So as we move into September in here, as a trader, I would think that they'll want to be buyers in through here. Basically, when you look at who was selling, a lot of people started selling December corn at 240 all the way up to 280. This breakback below 240 has a lot of those short positions profitable, and I think any dips in this low 230 area, 235 area, will probably be buying opportunities for those people who want to get long going into this winter.
Many have said that the wheat market needs to continue higher if corn is going to move forward. That may change as more ethanol plants come online, but for the moment, tell me about the wheat market. It did gain 5 to 6 cents for the day.
We had some pretty huge fun buying. I think it's overdone. There is a tighter situation when you look at the current supplies and some dry areas and so forth, but wheat's going to have to prove itself as we go much higher from here. From the standpoint, I visit with producers out west. I got some guys in Nebraska. They put wheat under irrigation this last year, and they produced 100, 110 bushel the acre. And they can go ahead and forward contract well over $4, a little over $4 for their wheat crop. So they're debating right now on what to do, and they're leaning towards a lot more wheat acres due to the fact that what they can gross and what they can keep, they're better off than planting corn, having the higher input costs, and pumping quite a bit of water. So I look at where the wheat price is. I think you're going to buy a lot of wheat acres. And so I look into 2007 here, I think probably another 10 cents up of wheat's probably going to catch it.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, we saw some strength in the livestock sector here, sort of a recovery bouncing through here. as we go into this fall, the seasonal tendency is to start to see this demand pick up here. We've got plenty of inventory out there, so it'll be interesting to see if demand offsets the big inventories we're going to be faced with as we go into this early fall.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, one of many analysts that will be joining us at the Farm Progress Show tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday in Amana, Iowa. We'll be in the AgriGold tent broadcasting live back to the radio station from there. If you have the opportunity, drop by and see us on the Farm Progress Show site. Visit with Dave Dickey, myself, and our chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. Speaking of weather, our own Jay Cyril says tonight showers and thunderstorms across the two-state region will end in the northwest, and then that ending will spread into the southeast, into Indiana by morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy. Otherwise, lows will be cooler as drier air moves in from the northwest, ranging from the low 50s in northern Illinois to the mid-60s in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a few lingering showers. Highs will range in the upper 70s in the north to the mid-80s in the south.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The Western Corn Rootworm Studies are out from the U of I comparing Herculex and YieldGuard rootworm corn. Mike Gray, Extension entomologist, is on hand to tell us about them.
Well, every year, Todd, the University of Illinois is engaged in some research at our research and education centers around the state in Monmouth, DeKalb, always in Urbana, and this year at the Orr Center located near Perry. And these are locations where we challenge corn rootworms with the latest transgenic hybrids that are available, as well as seed treatments and soil insecticides. So it's our way of sharing, again, information each year on the root protection these products afford, and give producers an unbiased assessment of how well these products are going to perform.
Anything of note this year out of any of the treatments on YieldGuard, Herculex, or the soil insecticides?
Well, as you know, Todd, there's a lot of interest this year on how well the transgenic hybrids the two main events, again, for corn rootworm, the YieldGuard rootworm materials and Herculex. And this year we were able to compare those side by side for the first time. And at Monmouth and DeKalb, both the YieldGuard as well as the Herculex rootworm treatments performed very well. We take mid-July root ratings and we follow those up with later root ratings in August. At Urbana, that was not quite the case. By mid-July, we had greater than anticipated root pruning in our YieldGuard rootworm treatment, again, at the Urbana location. By mid-July, we had approximately one node of roots pruned on that particular treatment. By August 8, again, our second assessment of injury, that level of injury had gone up to about 1.5 nodes of pruned roots. And that's more injury than we've seen in most years. Last year, we did see some of that later season pruning on YieldGuard as well, but it was certainly greater during the 2006 season.
And how much root damage was done under the Herculex at Urbana?
Well, again, in Urbana, the Herculex rootworm treatment performed well. There was still some root pruning, certainly by the time we get into early August, but it did have at least less injury, less pruning than we observed in the YieldGuard transgenic. And again, that happened only in our Urbana location. That did not show up in the other locations that I mentioned earlier, Monmouth and DeKalb.
You mean that there wasn't any root pruning at either of those other two places for YieldGuard or Herculex?
There was root pruning, but not at the level that we saw at our Urbana location. And the level of root pruning at the other two experimental sites was really what we would anticipate as being below that economic injury level.
This is an important note because at Urbana, this is one of the places that's close to the epicenter of the variant version of the Western Corn Rootworm. It seems that it may have something to do with the root pruning that's happening. And it might be important to note at this time that the first year of YieldGuard corn at this plot had less damage on it than this first year test of the Herculex corn. Is that correct?
Well, a couple of different comments. First of all, again, we are beginning to learn, again, more about this new technology, the transgenic BTs, if you will. And one of the things that we've learned, certainly over the last several years, is that there are differences in root protection among these transgenic hybrids. That's very important to acknowledge. Secondly, you mentioned the variant Western corn rootworm, and there's no doubt that in East Central Illinois, this is where we find the so-called epicenter of the variant Western corn rootworm. Based upon some literature that's been published, it does appear that these Western corn rootworm populations in East Central Illinois may be, again, a little less sensitive, a little harder to kill when it comes to this BT protein expressed, this CRY3BB1 protein in YieldGuard. And we know that as the season progresses, too, we see a decline in the expression of that BT protein, more so in some hybrids than in others. If we get into northwestern Illinois or DeKalb, the variant Western corn rootworm population is not as entrenched. Certainly in DeKalb, we know we have Western corn rootworms that have adapted to crop rotation, but still not at the intense densities that we find in eastern Illinois.
And then if you could discuss a little bit a comparison of this first year of YieldGuard in Urbana, first year of Herculex in Urbana and the first year of YieldGuard in Urbana, and if there are any comparisons to draw at that point. I think it's Kevin Steffi that told me at one point that this first year of Herculex damage was actually greater than the first year of YieldGuard damage in the Western corn rootworm BT.
Well, again, when we first looked at, again, the YieldGuard BT for rootworm in Urbana, the very first year, by mid-July, the level of root protection was very good. We had very little root pruning. And it wasn't until we saw the following year some pretty intense summer storms, and then we followed up root injury ratings in August, that we began to notice this late-season pruning. The level of Herculex, pruning in the Herculex BT for rootworm this year, again, certainly was not immune to pruning. We had on the 0 to 3 root rating scale, a 0.4, 0.5 root ratings, suggesting, a half a node in some cases of prune roots, certainly a lot of scarring on those root systems. So I think caution is certainly in order, and we'll continue to evaluate the Herculex transgenic, over the next several seasons, not just focusing in on one hybrid, but looking at several different hybrids, because, again, we've learned from our experiences with the YieldGuard BT for rootworm that there are indeed these differences across hybrids in terms of the root protection they afford.
There's no doubt that this fall farmers will see your data from Urbana, and this is why I've concentrated on it a great deal, across the Midwest and how Herculex performed as compared to the YieldGuard. Is one data point worth making that much mention of?
Well, again, I think I would be most concerned if I were a producer in eastern Illinois, east central Illinois, where there is clearly an entrenched variant Western corn rootworm population. But you're right. It's one experiment. We did, I should point out, see last year as well some of this later season brace root pruning. So if you want to throw that in as another point in time, certainly, again, and where we see this most often, again, is in the eastern part of Illinois. So those areas where the variant is certainly entrenched and has a history, I think a word of caution is very appropriate at this point.
Anything else to add on the Western corn rootworm and your BT studies and soil insecticide studies from this year. And we haven't talked about the soil insecticides and how they performed. Did they do well?
Well, the soil insecticides did perform, I think, very well across our locations. And that was also true, I should point out, for 2005. So there are, from time to time, products that may not perform as well. In fact, we saw, for instance, our Force soil insecticide treatment, which has been a steady performer for a number of years. The level of damage at Urbana was a little greater than we've seen in recent years. But I think with soil insecticides, it's important to keep in mind that calibration is obviously very important in placement of these granular products. Generally speaking, banded applications of the soil insecticides tend to give you better, more consistent root protection than in-furrow treatments. There is an exception to that. Fortress, if you're going to use that particular soil insecticide, we believe an in-furrow treatment is a better approach because it's a volatile compound. And in order to reduce the volatility of that compound, in-furrow placement of Fortress is a better approach. Regarding seed treatments, and there's obviously a lot of interest in the seed treatments, and one of the most well-known seed treatments is Poncho, and there's a lot of interest in using, you know, the Poncho 1250. This is the higher rate of that particular seed treatment. A lot of interest in utilizing it as a refuge treatment if you're planting a transgenic BT for rootworm. And again, I would urge caution there because we have just not seen consistent levels of protection with that particular seed treatment.
Thanks much, Mike. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Extension entomologist Mike Gray. I'm Todd Gleason for University of Illinois.
University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Brian Stark of the Andersons here in Champaign County joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Thanks for being on board with us. Tell me about the basis levels in our area.
Generally across the board, firming as of late. Obviously, the board decline here in the last couple of weeks has basically shut off any old crop movement, and you've seen the nearby basis really explode as far as trying to draw those bushels out to that in-between time between now and harvest. So it has been very firm. We've been down to a low of 35 under the December futures for new crop and have slowly creeped back up basically because the old crop basis for mother processing facilities has continued to strengthen to draw bushels that they need as coverage between now and new crop time period.
How tight has it gotten?
Well, we're in overs now down in Decatur. They're posted at four over the September. It's getting very strong right now. So obviously, depending on the lag time, whereas this year may lean to a starting of the harvest a later than usual, I think that could carry here for another couple of weeks before we start to see new crop basis slowly creep lower as we move into a good crop here.
Your expectations for that overage to widen out even more?
I think it may be a possibility, depending on yields. I think that's generally the consensus. As long as that old crop basis stays firm until we start hearing really good yields, I don't suspect it to widen very much further. But obviously, the pressure of harvest may have an impact to that as we move forward, depending how quick facilities have to go onto the ground with this big harvest we're expecting.
Will farmers be likely to pull crop out of the bin, or are they just going to wait it out?
No, I think they're going to wait it out at this point, Todd. They're very, you know, basically disheartened by the board's collapse and anything that they're holding on the farm. Obviously, the basis has had to do most of the work to try and draw some of that supply out. But at this point, I think if they can afford to carry it, the market's telling them to do it. So if they can afford to carry some of those old stocks and not affect their storage for the new crop supplies, they may carry as much as they can forward.
And, Brian, your bids for the day, please, there at the Andersons?
211 cash corn and 211 for fall, 522 for cash and fall beans.
Thanks much.
All right. Thank you, Dad.
Brian Stark of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joining us each and every Monday to take a look at the cash grain market. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the ag weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Clinton Nuclear Power Station has shut down. Exelon's Amergen subsidiary says the plant shut down automatically early yesterday evening when a power supply to instrumentation malfunctioned. A news release from Amergen says the cause of the shutdown remains under investigation and that the plant will return to service after repairs are made. The Clinton Nuclear Power Station provides much of the power to Ameren customers in central Illinois. One of Governor Rob Blagojevich's major fundraisers was awarded a $900,000 state contract after being cut from an investment proposal that has drawn federal scrutiny. The Chicago Sun-Times report said attorney Myron Mike Cherry got the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation contract in 2004. A spokeswoman says Cherry got the contract because of his qualifications. Four people were injured this morning when a small plane crashed into a pond in a housing subdivision shortly after taking off from an Indianapolis airport. Neighbors jumped into the water to pull the four from the wreckage of the plane. All four people were taken to hospitals for treatment. An experimental truck at the University of Illinois is running on biodiesel fuel made from the cooking oil at a campus residence hall. The so-called vegetarian pickup truck runs on used kitchen oil from the Lincoln Avenue Residence Hall at the Urbana-Champaign campus. The Illinois Waste Management and Research Center is experimenting with the truck as part of the governor's new energy plan, which calls for Illinois to cut dependence on foreign oils in half in 10 years. So far, the truck has run 12,000 miles with no mechanical problems. U.S. Senator Barack Obama today is urging Kenyans to take control of their country's destiny by opposing corruption and ethnic divisions in government. Speaking at the University of Nairobi, Kenya, Obama says Kenya and other African nations will never thrive if their citizens can't count on the government to deliver services fairly, regardless of their tribal background or ability to pay bribes. Obama is winding down a four-nation tour of Africa. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is WILL. We're joined by Mark Russo, Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Monday afternoon. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
Tell me about the forecast specifically for Mana, Iowa, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week for the Farm Progress Show, please.
Well, it's looking like improved weather here following the current scenario, which is quite rainy across the region here. And the threat of rain will continue tomorrow, as during the afternoon and late morning, there's a risk of some spotty rain shower activity developing. Doesn't look as heavy or stormy as what we've seen here over the past 24 hours. But it does look like then as we go into Wednesday, things clear out. That'll continue through Thursday. Northeast winds and lower dew points, and overall Wednesday and Thursday look very nice, highs in the 70s and overall clear conditions.
Oh, that sounds magnificent. We'll have to suffer through one rough day, but two good days at the Farm Progress Show is always better than none, that's for sure. Tell me about a little more local, something in Illinois and Indiana. Will we be getting the rainfall continued over the next 24 hours or so?
Yeah, same thing here in the east central portion of Illinois. Still rains continuing through around midday tomorrow. Some lingering rains possibly into tomorrow night, but then by Wednesday morning, the rains are done, drier weather moves in and looks to actually stay in place here from now and all the way through the upcoming holiday weekend. So a good extended stretch of dry weather starting on Wednesday and continuing at least through next Monday.
And Labor Day, you are suggesting, should be a pretty good day?
Yeah, it looks like a fabulous day at this time here with generally dry weather, kind of seasonal temperatures for this time of year, which would be highs generally in the 70s, low 80s. Across much of the Midwest.
Any other hot spots around the globe that we ought to take a look at before I let you go for the
afternoon? Well, we're watching the situation in Australia, the winter wheat, which has been hit hard by drought conditions during the growing season. Looks like more rain is in the forecast for that area. You're not improving these rainfall deficits, but certainly enough to at least boost soil moisture a little bit to at least slightly improve their winter wheat conditions, where the winter wheat crop now is coming out of winter dormancy and beginning spring growth.
And we appreciate you being with us, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for our pre-opening and opening market reports. As long as everything's working right from the Farm Progress Show, you should hear Dave Dickey from there. And then in the afternoon, we'll broadcast the Closing Market Report from the Farm Progress Show as well. If you're in the area, stop by in Amana, Iowa on the show site at the AgriGold tent, and you'll find Dave Dickey, myself, and Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. We're looking forward to seeing you. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.